Hi everyone, this is Andre from the Mental Health and I'm here with Professor Tony David. He's the director of the UCL Institute of Mental Health and we're talking about a new study register which has just launched. It's the COVID-19 and Mental Health Studies Register. Tony, I wanted to start by asking you, why is mental health research so important during this COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, this is one of the biggest crises that's hit our country, and in fact, you know, almost every country in the world. So we're really, we're bound to want to understand it better. And it's coming at it from all sides. It's a physical threat, it's a psychological threat, and it's a social upheaval and a threat. And looking at all those elements is really what mental health research is all about. But it does mean that we've got to work together. We want large studies that can tell us really important answers, not just to guide us in the short term, but will have that will stand up when future generations are looking back and trying to plan for their contingencies as well. So it's about pooling all that expertise and energy together and making sure that the work we do is really of the highest possible caliber.
And over the last couple of months, we've seen lots of announcements about new funding opportunities for researchers, lots of money being poured into COVID-19 research, and a good deal of that being mental health related funds. And I'm on Twitter all day, every day, and I've noticed, you know, every day there's new studies looking at COVID-19 and mental health and well-being. What's the reason for having this new register? Why is this register that's looking at COVID-19 and mental health studies so important?
Well, I think in our enthusiasm, first of all, we may be reinventing the wheel to some extent. We may also be duplicating our efforts. And as you say, although it's sometimes quite heartening to see the energy and enthusiasm in the activity, there is a danger that people are getting too many questionnaires to fill out, that people in hospital are being asked to consent to too many studies. And it would be a real shame if that meant that the information is going to be less than it should be. So we do have to try and pool all these resources, as I've said, and it's probably better to have a few really well-resourced, well-planned big studies than lots of little ones sort of working at the edges.
So what would your message be to researchers who are interested in studying COVID-19 and mental health?
Well, first of all, make sure that other people aren't having exactly the same idea as you. And if they are, it's usually a very good idea to join forces. The other thing is to reach out to other branches of medicine and healthcare, because what we're going to see is a story unfolding. People coming through a medical crisis, illness, then there's recovery, and then there's the long term, as well as the effects of people who are not actually getting ill with the virus, but are being affected by all the social change around us. So they're going to be experts at different parts of that story. And again, the more we reach out to these other disciplines, the better. And it may be that to really understand, for example, neuropsychiatric effects of COVID-19, we've got to find out what happened to them when they were in hospital and very ill. That might be why they're having the problems they have now. So we're not going to be able to do that unless we're working together with the people in the acute hospital, the intensivists, the chest physicians. So we need them to tell us what happened earlier on, and they need us to do the right kind of studies, the right kind of measures to measure mental health and well-being outcomes. So it's across disciplines as well as within disciplines that we need to be collaborating.
Yeah, just thinking about what you're saying there, first of all, I imagine a researcher who's working in a smaller university, or possibly a researcher who's not working in a university at all, who's working in a charity setting, let's say, who says, well, this is all well and good. This guy from UCL talking about this, and, you know, it's all well and good, people from Oxford and people from Maudsley and people from Cambridge talking about this kind of stuff. We need to work together. But what are the barriers to that happening, do you think, or what are the facilitators to real collaboration, cross-sector and cross-disciplinary, that can work outside of the kind of Golden Triangle, Russell Group universities?
That is a challenging and good question. And I feel for people working in smaller organizations. They want to contribute and they feel that they're being muscled out by the big boys. I think that's perhaps a perception, but the big universities and the NIHR, they're about reaching beyond the Golden Triangle, covering the whole of our nation and even doing global studies. So I think some of those perceptions are perhaps not justified. The other thing is that smaller charities and smaller organizations can do very important work, taking the temperature, as it were, at the moment. What's the pressure on the charities? What's the pressure on your particular group of patients? What's happening in your area? That's going to be important. That's going to need local activity. But it's different in terms of, well, what are we going to be looking back on in 10 years' time about human nature and human resilience? So we need quite a balanced portfolio of activity, but it still is important that we know what's going on. And that's why the register is going to be so important. It will should include small local studies as well as these larger efforts.
And I also wanted to pick up on this point about cross-disciplinarity, you know, respiratory researchers, for example, working with psychiatric researchers. That's really hard, isn't it? I read a blog by Miranda Wolpert yesterday where she was reporting back from a meeting where they were talking about just this and how they could fund that kind of research and how they could facilitate those kinds of collaborations. We still have silos, don't we, in research terms. How can we kind of understand research questions and research methodologies from other people's perspectives, and how can we support this kind of cross-disciplinary work?
Well, it is a challenge, and we are perhaps all guilty of being too narrowly focused on our area, but I think it is global events like this that force us to look at the bigger picture. So how many of us are now kind of experts on viral transmission and immunity? And similarly, how many of those basic scientists are interested in behavioral responses and social pressure? So I think it is forcing us to go outside of our silos. It is essential because this is a biopsychosocial problem. And if people are, say, looking at why is it that people who've had pneumonia are not getting back to work, it won't necessarily be because their lungs are not functioning, but it may well be that they've become depressed or their fatigue is due to some other condition. So there's a danger that we get stuck in our silos, but we really have to fight against it, because we're never really going to come up with proper responses unless we can step outside and work together. Please do register your study. It'll only take a few minutes. You'll find out what other people are doing. That will give you new ideas and perhaps start new collaborations. They'll find out what you're doing and be able to cite it and give it more prominence. So definitely let's pool our resources and make use of this new initiative.